Yes, I will make this snappy. Before we begin the program, would you kindly consider visiting fortisinstitute.org/donate, our matching gift campaign. It is rocking. So many big plans, so many opportunities to proclaim good news to lost people. Would you please help us do just that? It's our No Retreat matching gift campaign. To learn more and potentially participate, fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And he loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hit it, Hal!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? You don't know.
I do. I know exactly who you're talking about.
All right.
No.
Who's hit it, Hal?
I want to make sure you know. So you tell me.
I see. Oh, okay. Then I'll tell you, it's the Fig Newton guy from the Fig Newton song.
That's exactly right.
Chewy, gooey, rich and chewy inside. Tender, kicky, golden, flaky outside.
Yep.
Wrap the inside in the outside is a good darn tootin'. It's a big, big Newton. And he does the tricky part where he does a little dippity-doo dance. Here's my Fig Newton question. This is the type of thing that keeps me up at night. Does anybody make Fig Newtons besides Nabisco or whoever the Fig Newton company is?
Yes.
Like, no, they don't.
Yes, they do.
You've ever been to somebody's house for dessert tonight? I've made some homemade Fig Newtons.
Well, no. I don't know about homemade. I'm sure they do.
Who?
I'm sure they do, but I know
there's maybe a knockoff.
Yeah, there's knockoff generic brands because I grew up poor, so I know all the knockoff brands.
Well, there's a knockoff brand, but it's not like apple pie. Everybody right. makes apple pie.
Well,
nobody makes Fig Newtons at home.
I'm sure they do. My grandmother had a fig tree as I grew up.
You'd remember. Believe me.
Oh, well,
because you eat too many Fig Newtons, you will not forget it.
She made figs like she would. Can jar, it's like jelly or something.
Fig jam.
Yeah, that's what she would make.
Oh, that's delicious.
But she never made Fig Newtons.
That is my point precisely. Okay, if you would just agree with me in the beginning. 877-282-2337 or send other wretched things to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a two questions. This is from Derek. He said, Todd, I appreciated the recent episodes examining God's promises toward Israel. However, the discussions have left some unanswered questions.
Oh, no doubt.
Number one, if God's promise to Israel remains an active hope today, is there a need to share the gospel with them?
Oh, yeah.
And number two, if people today can convert to Judaism and be made a partaker of God's promise to Israel, is there therefore another means of salvation available for unbelievers?
No, they're two separate categories. How God views. Furthermore, the promises of Israel, I don't think it's just the land and the nation. That's clearly in the future, but it's salvation for the Jewish people. So I think that's the new promise for the Jewish people. Paul describes that in Romans 9 through 11. The plan for future Israel, God will be saving an awful lot of Jews. So we keep witnessing to them today, and we hope for the future that so many will be getting saved from the proclamation of the gospel. So There's still a future for Israel. We keep sharing our faith with Israel. By the way, Jimmy had kind of a bust with a Jewish guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, super, super nice guy. Our garage door went kersnap.
Mm.
You know, you got those two cables up there that pull it up on the side?
Yes.
One of them went off the rails. So the other side had to pull it a lot. The spring broke on both sides and the wire snapped and we couldn't get the garage door open. Called up these guys, super nice. They happened to be Jewish. And so talking to him, and I asked him if he's a practicing Jew. And it's like, well, not really. When do you read your Bible? I don't. So I thought, I'm going to do the Isaiah 53 test with him. And have him read Isaiah 53 because it is a perfect description of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. I had him read it and the translation, I think it was New King James Version, which made it a little harder for him to read. Nevertheless, he read it and I said, who's that talking about? And he goes, Moses? Nope. Moses wasn't led as a lamb to the slaughter. Moses didn't pay for anybody's sins. And he kind of sheepishly, no, like pun intended, but sheepishly said, Jesus? Yes, that is about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you know who wrote that? He goes, it's in the Bible. And I said, that was Isaiah. And he didn't know that that was the Old Testament. I said, that's your side of the book, written 700 years before Jesus. That was a prophecy that specifically describes that there will be one who suffers for the sins of his people. And he was like, kind of nonplussed. And I said, my friend, that should keep you up tonight. That will not keep me up tonight. There are many other things to keep me up. And I thought, the Lord has to convert people. The Lord has to convince people.
Yeah.
And he will do that en masse with the Jewish people. 877-282-2337.
So here's a question from Kyla. Todd, I noticed an explosion of Christian podcasts during the pandemic. And at first, I thought it was great. But now, in 2026, I see a bunch of heresy hunters and Christian gossip. In fact, as I listen to these Christian podcasters, I'm beginning to believe they aren't even being discipled. They're content creators who've been saved for a short amount of time, it seems, and all of a sudden, want a platform.
Yeah,
I've been praying for God to shut down 95% of Christian podcasters and send them back to the church. Is that wrong?
It depends on if we're in the 5%. Or the 95% that'll help determine. I agree with you that there's a lot of podcasters that shouldn't be podcasting. There's a lot of young phenoms that really shouldn't have that large of a platform because they're just too new to the faith. And there's nothing but danger for them. They can get puffed up. They can take a tumble. They really haven't thought through issues very deeply. They can ultimately end up hurting people. They should be discipled at least for a season, a long season. They should also, I think, get some training before you. That doesn't even have to be formal training, but that there has to be some sort of theological education before you just turn on the microphone and start flying away. And as far as a lot of them being heresy hunters, yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Unfortunately, it sells. That's the tragedy of it. That stuff sells like nobody's business. The sensational stuff, if it bleeds, it leads in Christendom too. People love that type of thing. We see that all the time here in Wretched Land. Any ministry that is just focusing on one thing besides Jesus Christ, at the very least, is a ministry or a podcast that simply it's off the mark. Jesus should be the focus of everybody's ministry.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've talked about it before. There's times when, you know, faithfulness requires, you know, you to warn people about things, but those warnings should sound like a shepherd guarding his flock, not a man looking for controversy.
And the reality is that gets clicks, that gets views.
Yep.
It works. But I think my formula is if that is all somebody is doing, I think that they would do well to sit on the sidelines a bit and refocus their ministry. And it can include heresy hunting, if you will. It can include discernment. But when that's all it is, I just think it could use a little bit of redirection. We should be exalting Christ. We should be proclaiming his excellencies. We should be shouting about the things which we have seen and heard. And yeah, warning too. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Nate. Todd, what should I do if if my wife isn't getting a lot of out of our pastor's sermons. Our pastor is biblically sound, and I think he gives very good sermons, but sometimes they're a little bit too scholarly for even me, but people have left the church over this, and they're complaining that the sermons feel too much like a seminary lecture.
Yeah, that can happen. Have you spoken to the pastor yet? That's what really should happen. I would gather the list of the people that you know who have left specifically because of that, because you just want to be able to show them, hey, we're losing. I'm on your team, Pastor. I'm on your team. Don't bring it like, see this list? There's going to be two more names on here if you don't knock it off and dumb it down, which you probably wouldn't want to say anyway. The point is, you want to be able to say, I'm concerned that more people will be leaving. And just speaking personally, brother, there are some times where it's like really cool stuff, but it's flying a little bit high. Is there a reason that you're aiming that high with your sermons? And let him explain himself. That can always bring a lot of clarity. Before you accuse, ask him why he does what he does. Is my observation correct? Do you think that you're speaking on a seminary level? Because he might be feeling like he's already bringing it way down. He thinks he's taking it off of the top shelf and he's serving the cookies to everybody. He might not know. So begin by telling him, I'm on your side. I don't want to see more people leaving. Do you think that you're preaching at too high of a level? Why do you choose the level? Were you aware that these people were leaving because of it? Because I don't want to see any more people leave. That approach, oh, so much better than sitting down with an accusation and just, you know, telling the kind of almost giving him an ultimatum. You got to get it to this level or not. In the meantime, I would be making sure that I'm communicating with the missus that's my intention to sit down with the pastor and talk to him. She could even join him. She has every right to join that conversation, to do it lovingly and respectfully. And in the meantime, then make sure too she's getting fed with food that she can actually chew and digest. If things work out, praise God. If it gets to the point where it's like, oh, we got an impasse and my wife isn't getting fed, then your responsibility is to your wife. This is Wretched Radio.
No Retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. The culture we live in right now has made it pretty clear it has very little interest in the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. Your gift will help launch two new podcasts. It puts Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, into print through HarperCollins. And it puts the gospel back onto college campuses where it's least welcome and most needed. Our goal is $250,000, and we're asking if you would prayerfully consider helping us get there. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a message from Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio, 877-282-2337 for text. Jimmy, regarding the fellow whose wife isn't getting a lot out of the pastor's sermon, your encouragement to him in the meantime, till they hopefully work it out with the preacher, is?
Well, let's go back to his question real quick, because he says sometimes they're too scholarly for me even, but I get the impression that he still is able to discern what his pastor is saying. So if that's the case, and even if he talks to his pastor and he does bring it down, I think at some level it is his responsibility to help his wife be able to understand. If he's understanding, if he's understanding what the pastor's saying, for the most part, then I think it's his position then to go and help his wife.
It is. There's a number of variables in this. First of all, it is the pastor's job to aim correctly. It's always, you know that, you preach, so that you know that sometimes you can go too high, you can go too low, you try to aim in the middle so that everybody can reach something. Mm-hmm. So it is the pastor's responsibility to get that sorted. I do think that it would be the husband's responsibility to help the missus in the meantime. However, do you think that if the pastor, let's say that he responds and says, you know what, I think I'm right on point, and the missus just struggles with it, that could be a reason to say, then I have a responsibility to my wife. We got to go find a place where my wife will be fed, because to sit there for 40 minutes or whatever it is and not get anything out of it until I explain it to her?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's, yeah.
It could happen.
I think there's a long discussion, for sure.
There is, and this shouldn't be done rashly. One of the kindest things that you can do for your pastor is to meet with him, cheer him on, encourage him, say the good things that you can say about him, and help him. That is so much better than, you know, just being angry at him. Certainly, gossiping. That's like one of the worst things that you can do. Hey, do you notice the pastor's sermons are aiming a little bit high? Do you get anything out of the pastor's? Oh, that's so bad for the church. And it's so good for the body if you meet with him directly to help him. He would. And if a pastor, by the way, if you go to a pastor in that spirit, because you've prayed about it, your attitude, you want to make sure that you're not angry, that you go to him respectfully and you lay it out. Any godly man, he might be a little tweaked up front, but in short order, he's going to be, thank you for that. Thank you. You know what? I'm glad you, and now he might not affirm and agree with everything you say, but he should be willing to earnestly consider your concern. What's bugging you should be an issue for him. If a man just like blocks it, becomes belligerent about it, that's suddenly a much bigger problem. That's a deeper issue that you would then have to explore. Don't do him a favor. Bless your pastor. Whenever you have issues with him, go to him in a spirit of one another. 877-282-2337.
And let me add, because I think about this every time you talk about a situation like this where you need to go to your pastor and it might be a hard conversation, what are you doing in the meantime? Like when there's not an issue, are you encouraging your pastor? Because we've talked about it before. If you're not encouraging your pastor, if you've never encouraged your pastor, have you earned the right to criticize them?
Well, I wouldn't phrase it that way. Well, can you? Yeah, but I get your point.
It makes the conversation easier. If you're a regular encourager of your pastor, he's going to receive the criticism a whole lot easier.
And honestly, that if we were doing that in church all the time, not just with the pastor, but one another, we are called to encourage one another, exhort one another, rebuke one another, look for ways to say encouraging things about somebody. You see somebody who is registering the children. That's what they do. That's their ministry. Every Sunday, say something. So grateful. It just, you know what? Every time I come to church and I see you at this station registering the kids, I got to tell you, it just encourages me so much. Thanks for your faithfulness. Off you go. Wow. Wow, what a culture that would be. Wouldn't you? And hey, people will do that to you too. Wouldn't you love to get an encouragement? Oh, I want to repent for this. Want an encouraging word? Give an encouraging word. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just tweeted that.
You got to put something on it though. Want an encouraging word? Give an encouraging word. unless it's to a prosperity preacher hack. Then you'll get more tweets or memes or views or things, whatever you get. 877-222-2337.
Right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, are we called to a specific local church, local body of believers, or is that a personal preference?
I wish you hadn't tacked on that or part. Here's how I can know what church you're called to. Give me the name of your church. That's the church you're called to, because you wouldn't be there if God didn't call you there. So your church is where you're at. That's your called church. Now, can you, the way that phrasing of that question sounded, I don't know if this was the intention. Does God have the church where he wants you, and you got to figure it out? And or you get to choose, and you could choose the wrong one. No, you're not going to choose the wrong one. Now, you might not make a good choice. You might make a bad choice. You might even make a sinful choice. But that is the choice that God has ordained, and that's the church that you're therefore in. But you're not going on a hunt to figure out where God wants you, because he gives you all of the information that you need for deciding what kind of a church you should be in. Be in a Bible-teaching church. Be in a church where the elders are mature and they care about your soul. Be in a church where I, God, regulate all of the elements of worship. There you go. That's the kind of church he wants you to be in. Now it's your job to go out and find it. Once you do, you settle in, and that is your church. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Eddie. Todd, some of my friends think that only some aborted babies go to heaven. What does the Bible say about children dying in the womb or at a young age?
Well, I would love to, some.
Yep.
Some.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them.
Right.
Some of them. That just grieves my heart. It just grieves my heart. We've done this study probably two, maybe three times. We rarely repeat stuff here on Wretched Radio, where we go back and like retill the same soil. At least try not to. The issue of babies going to heaven, we have done multiple times, because it should be a joyous theological position. And I have not adopted that position simply because I think it makes parents who have lost a child feel better. I believe it because it's so biblical. It's so biblical. There's at least 23 verses, about half in the Old and half in the New Testament, that I think make it very... Look, if there were one verse that kind of hinted at it, you'd be like, okay, we can, maybe we need something a little more clear before we speak definitively. We could say hopefully, but not definitively. How's about 10 verses? 15? 20? 23. At some point, you got to go, Uncle, I give. Yep, the Bible is pointing in that direction definitively. And I don't think, just to be clear on this, I don't think that this violates the necessity of faith in Jesus Christ alone. But I also believe that until an individual consciously sins against God, they have not accrued a debt to God. Incurred, accrued. They don't have a debt with God, because they have not sinned consciously, willfully against God. Once they do, then they are accountable. But until then, they are not. And obviously, a baby in the womb cannot do that. Therefore, God in his grace and his mercy receives them unto himself, because they are, if you will, innocent. And I think that is also true with people who have diminished mental capacities, that if they do not have the ability to willfully sin, God is going to embrace them when they pass from here to eternity. And I say that not because I just want it to be true, but because it is biblically true. So if you've heard somebody say some babies go, others don't, or maybe just babies born into a Christian family, I'm sorry, that you've got to point that out to me in the Bible where that would come from, that somehow somebody gets to go to heaven because of lineage. That's contra everything we believe about the Christian faith. It is an individual's belief in God. And you say, well, wait a second, that baby can't believe in Jesus Christ. You're right. But that baby also doesn't have a sin debt that needs to be paid. And so God can receive that child. And that should be joyous news. So if you've been told otherwise, I'm very sorry. You can look forward to seeing your baby in heaven. And what a joyous day that will be. And by the way, that doesn't just include babies who died in the womb naturally. It includes aborted babies. Doesn't matter the means or the method. Doesn't matter what caused their death. If you have lost a child through whatever means, you can know that one day you will be seeing your child in heaven. How many millions of sweet reunions will we be seeing in heaven? How many babies that miscarried will be in heaven with King Jesus and will be reunited with their parents? And you got to kind of ask the question, isn't that just like our God? Isn't that just like Him, that He would be so gracious and kind to create millions of lovely family reunions? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We start today with a Tennessee lender by the name of Advance Financial 24/7, who is suing more than 110,000 of their customers they've acquired since 2015 all over its Flex Loan program, which carries an annual interest rate of 279.5%. And before legislature started legalizing this type of thing, payday loans were capped at $425. Yeah, the Bible doesn't explicitly condemn lending, but it does condemn getting rich off desperate people. And the Supreme Court ruled unanimously on April 29th that the First Choice Women's Resource Centers, a faith-based pregnancy ministry that has operated in New Jersey since 1985, has standing to challenge a sweeping government subpoena demanding 28 categories of documents, including the identities of its private donors. The court was clear that the government demands for donor information burden First Amendment rights. 24 hours after that ruling, the New Jersey Attorney General went to a state court and asked for fast-track enforcement of that same subpoena. The Alliance Defending Freedom called this exactly what it is, a hostile campaign to bully a pro-life ministry before federal courts can intervene. In New York, a 30-year-old male doctor who identifies as non-binary is suing the Soho Hotel after a security guard asked him to leave the women's restroom, which he had entered while dressed in women's clothing. He's seeking compensatory and punitive damages for, among other things, the humiliation of being directed to the men's room. Meanwhile, six Idahoans are suing to block the state's new law restricting female facilities to biological females, a law that carries felony penalties for repeat violations and mirrors legislation now on the books in 19 other states. The lawsuits will keep coming, so apparently will the common sense required to pass these laws in the first place. And finally, an investigative reporter spent 2 months digging through DOJ's newly released Medicaid payment data in Ohio, and what he found was extraordinary. In Columbus, entire city neighborhoods have effectively replaced their local economy with Medicaid billing companies, many of them submitting government claims for companionship and conversation provided by family members to other family members. One building was home to 94 separate companies that collectively billed taxpayers $66 million. The program has no monetary cap and requires only a single cooperative doctor to keep authorizations flowing indefinitely. The Trump administration has a fraud task force looking at Medicaid abuse, and based on what one reporter found in 2 months in one Ohio city, we have plenty of material to work with. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was Bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tender, cakey, gold. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. What have you found on your internet machine that's wretched? Would you please forward it to idea@wretched.org? If you've got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, 877-282-8255. 2337. Put them thumbs to work and send whatever is on your mind. 877-282-2337.
All right, this segment's going to be dedicated to marriage. Our first question is from Joe. Todd, I want to get married one day. It's one of the strongest desires in my heart, but I don't want to idolize the idea of getting married. How do I properly prepare to find a wife and pursue marriage one day without idolizing the idea of a wife?
The question I think that you'd have to ask first is, how do you know if you're idolizing it? Because there's nothing wrong with having a desire. It can be a sinful desire. It can be a sanctified desire. So I don't want to automatically say, well, don't be dreaming about marriage. Don't be excited about marriage. Well, that would be wrong. God provides so many gracious gifts. And I think having something to look forward to in the future is a wonderful blessing from God. So don't squash every desire to get married. Just make sure it doesn't turn into an idol defined as it's supplanting God. Defined as you will be miserable if you can't get married. Defined as I am living for that. Defined as it occupies more of my gray matter than God does. If it's crossing that line, then you need to just pull it back, repent to the Lord, ask Him to keep you on the right side of the line, and then just move forward step by step. Don't squash them. Just don't make it elevated to the point where it is taking the place of your Savior. That would be to cross the line. That's true of a vacation. I mean, it would almost be silly, wouldn't it? Well, I don't want to look forward to my vacation because I don't want it to be an idol. No, you look forward to your vacation. You just need to define what makes something an idol. And I think those aforementioned, I think I offered four or five standards, would be the definition of an idol. Keep on the right side of those standards and you can enjoy the thought of getting marriage. And by the way, it's good to hear a young man who wants to get married. Yep. About time! The fellas not wanting to get married. Dude, who's persuaded you that marriage is bad? They're wrong. They're wrong, 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 wrong. Is marriage easy? Well, of course it's not. It's a school of character. I hate to think about what I would be like if I weren't for marriage. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, I... Oh, man, if the Lord had let me go my own way. Oh, my heart just would be so filled with. You'd list all of the prideful, all of the selfish. Oh, what marriage makes you less selfish. Otherwise, it'll make you crazy. Well, there's your option right there. You either become less selfish or you just go bonkers because you just keep bumping into these other carbon 14 units that have their opinions and preferences. And if you don't get your way on everything, you're just going to go nuts. So what do? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you become increasingly patient. You become increasingly self-sacrificing. You end up giving up preferences. Jimmy, you know what I'm not going to do right now?
What's that?
I am not going to tie this into 1 Peter 3:7, which I'm preaching on this weekend at alpharettabiblechurch.org. Thank you very much.
Good job.
Thank you, because that is what a man is supposed to be. He's supposed to be the one who says, your way, dear, as much as you can, without sacrificing the position of authority that God has called you to. The idea of being able to, if you will, I'll just use it in air quotes, although not sure we have to. We're supposed to, Ephesians 5:21, we submit to one another. Well, it can't mean the authority aspect. It just can't. Because that's clarified then in Ephesians 5:22 and 23 when it addresses women. So what does it mean for a man to submit to a woman? You first, dear. What would you like to do? What's your favorite color? I like that. Let's do it your way. That's just giving deference to. It includes more than that, but I'm just focusing on how it will grow you and it will put others first. And you'll just become better for it. You just will. You won't be as selfish. You won't be as self-centered. You won't be so myopic, just to, you know, always thinking about yourself. And then, because as soon as you, if that's your current state, then anybody who comes into conflict with your tastes and desires, look out, off with their head. Marriage demands you become more patient. Marriage demands that you become more self-sacrificing. You want those things? Get married. You want a slow roll of sanctification? Stay single. Now, to all of those, and I know that there are plenty who are right now going, yeah, fine, radio boy, I'd love to. Send me a godly man. That would be great. Where are the godly women? I hear this lament all the time. I'm sorry that you can't find one. I'm sorry. It is relatively bleak out there. I would encourage you, as much as you can, participate in the life of your church. Find yourself in places where there's going to be more potentially godly people. I don't think it's a bad idea for somebody who's young and they want to get married. Be a committed member of your church. But if they down the street, there's a good church and they got a big youth program, go. Put yourself in a place where you can actually meet other believers. Because out there on the dating scene and so much of the dating app business, I've seen some of the stuff that's on the dating app business. It's like, is this a dating app or is this just like a hookup app? Because that's just the way it's coming across what I'm looking at here. So find yourself in places, put yourself in places where you can find like-minded, godly people. And I'm sorry. My encouragement to get married is not intended to make you feel bad because you can't. It truly isn't. I just want to encourage those who are reticent, get married. It's so good for you. And then you make babies, you teach them about Jesus, you become one flesh with somebody. You march to Celestial City hand in hand. Oh, what a joyful thing marriage is. 877-282-2337. Unless, of course, they leave the cabinets open, right, Jimmy?
Oh,
see? Huh?
You know,
you've had to grow through that, haven't you?
I have. And you know, it's not a big deal anymore. It's not. It was first of our marriage. And, you know, it's a thing that we talk about.
All right, how long did it take?
It took a long time.
Come on.
It really.
Long time's too vague.
10 years. But, you know, that it was something that was just baked into me because I got in trouble for it as a child. You know, so I got in trouble for it at home as a child. And so it was just really baked into me that you don't do that.
Right. And that's a family of origin issue.
Yeah.
You bring that in. That is a great example of bringing something in. Now, I think somebody should shut the drawers when they're done with them. I think that just makes sense.
That's right.
Nevertheless, that still demonstrates when you grow up in a home where it's like you always shut the drawers and then you marry somebody who doesn't, you're bringing that history with you. And it's not just drawers. It's everything. How long you keep the garbage disposal running. Do you even walk away from the garbage disposal after you've pushed the button to go do something else and then come back to it? All of those, it's like you bring all of that into marriage. And guess what? You have either got to sort it, put the other person first, or go totally nuts. Because you will just go totally crazy, or you can be sanctified. The choice is yours. Marriage is a school of character. Marriage, it's like a jeweler's. I'm making this up.
Writing tweets here.
Well, whatever, like the thing that they use to rub on it to make it shiny. What's that called? Like a cloth.
Yeah.
A jeweler's cloth.
Right.
Marriage is like sandpaper. It'll either scrape you or it'll polish you up. That's pretty close. That was pretty good right there. 877-282-2337.
I didn't tell you that my fix was it wasn't getting over it.
You super glued them.
No. It was just taking all the doors off.
Oh, that one.
Here's
a quiz for you. A little test. I'm not going to ask if you ever did. How many times did you threaten the boys you're taking the door off the bedroom?
I've got one right now that I do have the door off. It's downstairs in the basement.
That's it, isn't it?
That's not a threat.
It's a reality.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Not to say that that's wrong. I'm just saying.
Parenting.
It's parenting. It's one of those cards that sometimes you feel the need to throw down. But honestly, though, I'm not talking about your boys. I have no idea what's going on, why you chose to do that. But if a kid can lock himself in the bedroom with a computer or a cell phone with unfettered access to everything in the world. We did a YouTube short on that. That commercial where the dad pokes his head in the bedroom with the kid. Hey, son. Getting ready for bed? All right, well, I'm just going to leave you here with this guy. And it's like a Russian hacker, pervert guy. Oh, and then here's all your friends from school. They're going to just say nasty things about you. And it's like, we let these kids have access to all of that? What are we doing? Here's the solution. Take the door off the bedroom. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man. Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news, Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the Shoulders of Giants takes you across six countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Song of Songs, also known as Song of Solomon, is a song about romantic love. The author uses sensuous, romantic language to describe courtship and marriage, desire and intimacy, in the context of purity and goodness, which are God's intentions for marriage. A biblical view of marital love is romantic and passionate, while being innocent and pure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Parenting Tips. This is Wretched Radio. What's on your mind? Would you kindly communicate it via the email machine, idea@wretched.org, or text away to 877-282-2337. Are we still in marriage land?
We are still in marriage
land. All right.
I've got one more question. This is the other end of the spectrum because this is from a lady, Todd. Her name's anonymous, though. She said, I've been dating my boyfriend for a couple of years now. We're working toward getting engaged soon. I was advised in middle school, early high school, to avoid praying often for any boy I was interested in because it would make me think about him more than I should. Would this apply when you're in a serious dating to marry relationship? At what point is it appropriate to pray for the person you're dating?
Well, I don't know who gave you that advice, but I'm not sure I would have offered that in the first place. At least not position like that. We're supposed to be praying for one another. We should be bringing others before the throne of grace. Now, is there a potential danger that if you're praying for somebody of the opposite gender because you're interested in them and, hey, Lord, if you'd work this out and if we could be, then someday we could... Could your heart get knit because of that intense thinking about and praying about? It could, sure. But I don't think that I would use that to say, therefore, don't pray. Just guard your heart. To tell somebody not to pray for another person, I'm not sure that I can figure out a context where that might actually be biblical and make sense. So I think it's more a matter of guarding your heart. I don't think that they have to be mutually exclusive. I think that you can do both. And now that you're in the process of doing that, here I got one for you. Not only should you be praying for him, you should be praying with one another a lot. If young lady, if you're dating a young man who isn't praying with you regularly, think long and hard about it. Now, it might mean that it just needs to be brought to his attention. And if he gets with the program and starts leading in that way, but if he's not doing that, well, it could be a bad sign. It could also just be a sign he needs some discipling, he needs some maturation, and he needs some encouragement and some understanding, some modeling of what it looks like to be a godly husband. And if I could add one more thing, I don't know the scenario of the young lady who wrote this particular text or email. They've been dating for 2 years. Now, there's no law about this. You can't say it should only be this long. But I would encourage you, if you're in that window where you are looking to get married, two year time, that's a long time. I would encourage, I'm not saying that the person who wrote in was sinning. I don't know the details. I don't know their ages. Maybe they were 17 and now they're just not. I get all of that. But in general, as a principle, be intentional about it. This is my take on it. You can take it or leave it, like pretty much anything that comes out of my mouth. But if you're not being intentional about it, there's really no point in dating. If it is not to determine, is this a person that qualifies for the biblical standards of being a godly spouse, male or female? If you're not really trying to sort that, then you're probably just doing dangerous dating and you're wasting time. If you want to get married, be intentional about it. If there's somebody that you're dating, get to it. I just don't, look, I'm not making a law. I'm just offering 2 cents, which currently is trading at about 1.2 cents. And let me tell you, buying gas with my pennies, whoa, that is expensive these days. Be talking about these issues. Be involving other people in these issues. So if you've been dating for 6 months and you haven't talked about it because you're just kind of waiting to see how it sorts itself out, I think you're probably wasting precious time. Move it forward or end it. One or the other. But try to be as focused on it as you possibly can, because you will be shocked. The years will blow by awfully fast, and you don't want to find yourself looking back going, why did I date that guy for 3 years and nothing came of it? And I will say this again, without commenting on the individual who wrote in, if a guy is not willing to talk about it or to actually like, yeah, we really should be talking about this, can't make this 100% law, but you probably don't have a keeper, is what I'm trying to say. Because a woman shouldn't have to drag a dude along. He should be the guy leading this stuff. He should be the one who goes, so glad you brought that up, dear. Let's talk about that. Because, wow, I really, my desire is to be married. And I think maybe you and I could be the couple that spends the rest of our lives together living happily ever after. If a guy doesn't want to have those conversations, there's a website and it ends with .org and it starts with a move on. 877-282-2337.
This is from Ralph. Todd, you talk a lot about the Catholic Church and Protestant churches, but I'm not finding very much concerning the Orthodox Christian Church. Yeah. What would you say regarding them?
That's what I'd say. I don't talk about him because I don't get it. Really, we have talked about the Orthodox Church. We've spent a fair amount of time. It started when I was at UGA and there was an Orthodox priest inside of the student union. And I approached him, sat down with him and tried to get a definition of justification until I wanted to bang my head against a wall. And then I tried to ask him how you get to heaven. And then I wanted to put myself in a 3-point stance and just fire off into a brick wall because it was like, what? I don't get it. I can't communicate. I don't speak the Eastern Orthodox language. I don't understand how they understand God. And so we don't talk about them a ton because it's just really, really hard. This is what I know. Are there saved people in the Eastern Orthodox Church? Yes. Here's the problem. The church's definition of justification, it's almost impossible in my estimation to sort. They can't articulate it. I think, though, at its core, a work-based system? Yes. Do I think that there are people in it who simply don't understand it because it's very difficult to understand? Yes, I do. Do I think they're going to go to heaven? Yes, I do. But do I think that the Eastern Orthodox Church is something that you should seek out and join? No, I do not. Because you will not hear a clear gospel presentation. You will hear works mingled with some grace, but you will never hear grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And there's a number of people who are intrigued by the Eastern Orthodox Church. And it is, I think there's two reasons, and we have talked about this a number of times, because I think these two reasons apply to the Roman Catholic Church. Number one is that they want to go back. They think that they're connected to the true church that's going all the way back. The claim of the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church is the same. We're the one. We're the true church. We go all the way back. And people dig that. And so they want to be a part of that. I think the other reason that they're so attracted to it is because they're so weary from evangelical triteness, the silliness and the light and the fluffy and the lack of reverence. The Eastern Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church, while I believe outside of orthodoxy, both of them, they at least are more reverent about what they do, at least in worship. And I think people are just, they've had it and off they go. And that should be instructive for us. Shouldn't it? 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, why am I always wrestling idols off my heart?
Because your heart is an idol factory. That's why. That's where the fall. It's just the fall. Now, I would love to know how old this individual is. Because it should be that increasingly, the larger the idol of King Jesus is on your heart, there's just not a lot of room left for others, for false usurpers. Study Jesus. Think about Jesus. Consider what Jesus has done for you. Consider the love of God expressed in his Son for sinners. And the more you think about the Savior, the less your heart is going to be creating idols. There simply won't be room for them there. 877-282-2337.
Do you know why I asked so many questions about idols today?
No, but I fear this could potentially be a dad joke of some sort.
No.
It felt like it.
It's not a dad
joke. That's usually what you do.
That I know, but I was actually trying to set you up for something else, Todd.
Right, of course you were, Jimmy. Carry on.
Because, you know, we have a match campaign. I was trying to set you up for that.
What?
You don't know how to...
What segue? You're going to have to explain the segue to me.
I don't really know. I was hoping you would take it.
There was a synapse in your brain someplace. Okay, so in other words, here's what happened.
We've got a...
the quarterback had his arm back, and then a defender hit it, and the ball just comes wobbling out, and I'm supposed to catch it.
That's right.
Okay. We have a no-retreat matching gift campaign. And it'll prove that you don't have idols in your heart if you release money to us. How am I doing with this?
Hey, we create a bunch of content that talk about that. There we go.
No. It's a matching gift campaign. We would be very grateful. It's doing really well. Thank you to everybody who has given. If you haven't, we would love it. And it'll accomplish three things. One, it'll make sure you don't have any idols in your heart. Two, we can create more content that talk about idols in the heart. And three, best of all, we can proclaim Jesus even more. FortisInstitute.org/donate. Thanks, QB. Well played. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.